Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is a message given on Sunday morning, February 23rd, 2020, by one of our elders here at the church named Eric Snyder on the occasion of his ordination for ministry.
I'm in no shape to speak at the moment. Thank you so much. I don't know what to say. I'm just humbled and I don't know how to respond to that. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6. Just one verse, very briefly. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, you gave us your word to show us who you are, to show us who Jesus is. We are transformed by that word. We ask that the result of whatever it is I'm going to try to say today, Lord, that the result would be faith in our hearts and praise on our lips and glory to you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. We had a power outage at our house just a few weeks ago. And I called the utility company, the electric company, and the guys came, and they showed me what caused the power outage. It was a woodpecker. And the woodpecker had been pecking where he's not supposed to peck. He was pecking a transformer right near our house. And the transformer transferred 7,200 volts of electricity into that woodpecker. And he was transformed into fried woodpecker. And I gotta say, that woodpecker was delicious. No, just kidding. He didn't taste that well at all, so no. But there are, in the Old Testament, there are things that are unclean, corrupted, unholy, and if you touch them, you become unclean and unholy and corrupted. And the rabbis that commented on the Old Testament would add to that list of things you couldn't touch without being infected by the thing you're touching. Dead bodies, lepers, people with skin issues, women that are not your wife or in your family, Gentiles. But when in the Gospels, Jesus comes on the scene and the writers present him as particularly violating that. He's touching people and going places that he is not supposed to go. He's touching the dead. He's touching lepers. He's touching women. He's touching everybody. And he's going all over the place. And rather than him being polluted or corrupted or made unclean, it's his holiness and his purity that's being transferred to them. And he transforms them. And the Bible presents Jesus and these miracles that he does and the things that he does so that we can see God and how he really is. We see his compassion, his mercy. And when we see Jesus, we're seeing God. The Bible presents Jesus in order to reveal God to us. And Jesus is always taking the initiative because God is taking the initiative because salvation is a work of God. And when we see Jesus for who he is, in the Bible, when you see people seeing Jesus and realizing who he is, what's the result? The result is worship. And if you're not worshiping Jesus, it's because you haven't seen him. When we see Jesus, we're transformed. And when you see him the way the Bible presents him, it's the same as being touched by him when he's touching people and transforming them in the Bible. Let me explain this a little bit. When you read any story, not even a Bible story, you're reading a story, the person who constructed the story is creating a world, And that world of the story interacts with your world. And meaning occurs when something from the interaction of your story with their story helps you understand something about yourself or the world in which you live. Okay. Something different happens in the Bible. Because the story of the Bible is God's story, it's the same God who you pray to now, who is active now, who is in your life now and is present. And it's not just your story and that story interacting. It's like this. There's somebody you're going to marry. You're going to marry this woman, or if you're going to marry this man. And in the process of learning about them, you learn their story. And they're telling you their life. And you're not just a passive spectator to the story, just listening. By your listening to the story, you enter into the story. You're becoming part of this story. You are in it. And when God reveals his story to us, it's not just being a spectator, being an observer is not an option. You are entering into the story, and his story is entering into you. That's what the Bible means when it says it's alive. There's something else beyond just a story here. You are not an objective observer. By entering into the scriptures, you get involved in God's story, and it's alive. So the job of the preacher, or somebody who's teaching the scriptures, is to open up the Word of God so that people can see Jesus and hear Jesus. In 1998, I was studying this next verse, this text in Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And as I studied the text, I realized this verse and the verse that I read at the beginning talks about this creative work of God in through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, life is created. And that when the Word of God is being opened up and people are able to see Jesus, God is at work in the same way he was in creation. When he said, let there be light, and there was light. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, coming together, and life is created. It's the same thing that happens when the Word of God is opened up and you're sharing scripture with somebody and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God work together and new life is created. You are a new creation, the Bible says. So when I was studying that and I saw that, it wasn't words or something, but I had this impression that God was saying, this is what I want you to do. And that was in 1998. Why is this just now happening? It's a long story. We moved to Tennessee, and no one knew me here. And I wasn't going to, Lord, I'm not going to campaign. I'm not going to, if this is something, if you really spoke to me, if you really wanted this to happen, you're going to have to make it happen. And then he brought us to this church, and this is a day that I've waited for a long time. And I just, I love this church. I love the elders. I love all of you. And it's something that means more than I can't even express what it means. I love teaching and sharing the Word of God and helping people understand the scriptures. There was in the 90s, there's this deal about they were always doing mission statements, and I saw this hotel group on the beach when we lived in Florida, and they all had T-shirts that said "Create Wow," And I was like, what do you mean create wow? And they said, well, that's what we want people to experience when they come to our hotels. When they see the hotel, we want their response to be wow. So that's our job. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. And since everybody's doing mission statements back then, I thought, what could my mission statement be? And my mission statement, I wanted to be create aha. So that if I'm sharing something from the scripture, I want people's reaction to be, aha, I see something I haven't seen before. And so there's some things that I think will help you. And these are tips that have helped me when you're studying the scripture. I'm going to give you some practical things that you can take with you that have radically changed the way that I can approach the scriptures and see things and be able to see Jesus in ways that I haven't seen him before. Just some practical things. First of all, ask the Holy Spirit what the text means. He'll show you. Ask him, what does this mean? It's his job to show you. The other thing that everybody talks about all the time is context. And it's always usually, don't take a text out of its context. I would add this. Not just don't take it out of its context, put the text that you're reading in the context of which it is. These guys, these are people like you. They're not random. Most of the time, unless it's poetry or prophecy or something like that, what the author is telling you, he's got something he's trying to say. And if it doesn't make sense, it's because we're not understanding what he's saying. It's there for a reason. And the other thing is, the people in the Bible, they're the same as you and me. So when you're reading, climb inside their shoes. And that means you're going to look at things through their eyes. You want to look at things through their culture, through their time setting. See things from their perspective. It's amazing what you will see that commentators miss just by doing that one thing. Now, here's something else that was a big deal to me. This changed the way that I read the scriptures. It was a British script doctor who he takes Hollywood scripts that when they're sick and he fixes them. And he told me he asks these scripts that he's reading three questions. And the three questions are, whose story is this? Who changes the most in the story? If, for instance, Ruth is really Naomi's story. Naomi changes the most. What do they want? What is it that they want? And emotion is kind of a clue. Where you see emotion, this kind of indicates a want. What is it that they want? And why should I care? This is the connection. How does this apply? What's at stake here in the want? Okay, the other thing is, when you see emotion come out, it's over the top, you don't understand what's going on here. They're overreacting. And it's like, oh, I don't understand that. There's something. Follow the emotion. Trace it back. Let me give you an example. A modern example. I'm going to say a sentence. And some of you, I'm going to say this sentence. And some of you who are very familiar with this culture and history and how this applies should have an emotional reaction. I don't have an emotional reaction to what I'm about to say. I am almost completely apathetic to what I'm about to say. And I don't even understand the severity of what it is I'm about to say, okay? But those of you who do understand what I'm about to say, I want you to respond with the right amount of displeasure and emotion at what this means to you, okay? Don't hold back, okay? This is what I want to say. Houston Astros sign stealing. I don't know I don't understand. I don't know what that means. Why the emotion? I have no idea. What? So if they, they stole a few signs, buy some new signs, Obviously there's something more going on here than just, see, we're getting reactions here. This means something. And the only way you can know what it means is you have to ask. You have to get inside the culture of what's happening there. Look at the detail. There's, you know, Steven Spielberg said, it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. Everything that's in the details matters. There's something that God reveals in the details. Last of all, I just want to say, come to community group. Now, we learn a lot there, and that's what the point of the community group is to hold each other up and to get inside the text and see what Jesus is saying to us. Thank you.
The sky is black, the moon is high. It won't be light for quite a while. Tell me things I want to hear. Oh, whisper them into my ear. I'm waiting. And everyone I know's asleep. Here in the dark, it's you and me. You can see behind these ribs everything I have to give. I'm giving. So speak to me, teach me, listen to me now. I need. Help me somehow. I'm nothing if we don't start here. But you know what I'm up against. You know how weak is my defense. You know how hard I try. Oh, can't you see? Can't you see that I am begging you? And you fill me up with peace and rest. Your living joy down in my chest. You tell me I am not alone. You wanted me just for your own. And I'm longing. So speak to me, teach me, and listen to me now. Well, I need you to get down here and help me somehow. Well, I'm nothing if we don't start.
Die.